The following podcast is presented to you by the BICBP Radio Network.
Push start.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Another week, another year of the Push Start podcast presented to you by GHU. Oh, yeah. It is the new year.
I forgot about that.
I know. It's crazy, right?
Happy New Year,
Happy New Year, everybody. Just to our listeners. If you don't listen to us, F you. Yeah. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your three hosts, alongside...
It's your boy, C-Ham, a.k.a. The Nerd, a.k.a. the World Heavyweight Champion of Live Broadcast.
As well as...
Giving it to you raw, laying it down, SmackDown. From the 99 to the 2000, the person that you love to hate, the tigers in the cage, the bad guy caddy.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes,
What's up, guys?
Happy New Year. How was your guys' New Year's?
It was pretty...
It was good. Chill?
Chill for me, because I had to work the next morning.
But I watched two movies.
Did you?
Yeah, I watched a movie. I forgot. It was like some kind of crazy purge movie where like some girl... They blamed a girl for releasing like mad shit around the town of Salem. I don't know, but what else? I watched
Bandersnatch.
Oh yeah, that. Watched that too. Mm-hmm. The Black Mirror movie.
Yes. Black Mirror. Shout out to
Talk about that because I haven't seen it yet, and maybe some of the listeners haven't seen it. Yeah, explain.
Well, Black Mirror itself, I've been following the show since the first season dropped on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, mm-hmm. And what really drew me to it is a lot of people look over about this show is it shows the ill effects of society's use of technology.
Right.
If we're over reliant on certain aspects of technology. And in this film, they really, really tackle like gaming.
Okay.
And, not just the addiction of gaming, but like from a creative standpoint too, this one is a little bit more ridiculous because this dude's developing a game. So he's not just a lover of games. He creates them.
Right.
So you have to be in a really different mind frame, in my opinion, to create a game.
Got to be open-minded.
For sure. Really open-minded. So with that being said, I don't want to spoil too much for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, but it's the first interactive film on Netflix. So like based on what you select will determine the length of the film and where the direction of the film goes.
That's really impressive. Like,
it's
that's cool.
Dope as hell.
I mean, it's kind of like a video game, I would say, right? Choose your own adventure.
In a sense, yes.
Yeah. So,
it's really on some Oregon Trail, for sure. Yeah.
That's so cool. Can you imagine them doing just straight-up video game movies in that style?
I foresee that coming because video games in general in pop culture are so important. Like I feel like they've always had a foothold in importance. But, like, now, I feel like it's higher than ever.
Right.
Especially with the generation that's coming up, the influence of gaming is so high.
I agree with that because tying in the Black Mirror thing and, like, how the video games in society are, like, behavioral-wise and how they're using the technology, in the series, they mm-hmm. actually have, like, nods to video game references and stuff like that. But it's a technology. It's kind of like the upgraded version of VR.
Yeah.
But they use it in, like solving crimes to get people to admit certain things that they did or done relive simulations over and over again.
Yeah.
So like that is not only just like a video game, but it's how they like use that technology to supplement control and power over certain people or get you to sway or do something. It's just mad, like, synonymous.
You gotta watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't watched any of the Black Mirror series or the film, please, like, binge it. When you got some time, binge it. It's very good.
Yes, they got good video game nods and references.
For
sure. Got a lot of good pop culture references in there, too.
For sure.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Sweet. So, this week was Caddy's week to pick what our topic was, and he was actually very generous. Now, I'm really excited for this topic that...
As am I.
We all kind of universally agreed on it. And Caddy, you know, explain your choice this week.
My choice this week? Well, my choice this week is... Which one? The first one or second one?
Oh, the one we're actually going
to
do.
Okay. Well, fuck that. I was supposed to do... No, I was playing. Well, I wanted to talk about, like, how the marketing in video games, the inflation and, like, different aspects of like the cost of material,
right?
The transactions between time, between what you value a game now and or back in the day, you know, all type of shit like that. You know, are you getting your bang worth your buck?
Right.
Are you fucking that bitch good, or is she fucking you? I'm just here to.
I mean,
like,
that's alliteration. I think that's pretty accurate.
I'm sorry.
That was great.
But I'm not. The truth has to be tackled.
Because, I mean, in all honesty, there is no, like, nobody really knows what the value of a video game is anymore.
It's subjective.
Everything's very, like, the prices are pretty much set. When a new game comes out, the regular version, 9 times out of 10, is going to be, like, $59.99.
Yep. Yeah.
The DLC, with everything, ranging from anywhere from $89.99 to maybe $120,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like that. So nobody really knows.
Yeah, you know what? This is our Black Mirror episode.
Truly
talk
is.
About how these video games subjugate and control us and cause us to fight and do crazy shit.
For sure.
And wait for DLC.
Pretty much. I mean, I think, within the last 5 years, I think there's been this real question or debate
mm-hmm.
of whether or not video games are worth what you pay. Mm-hmm. Especially if you are really getting full value. You know what I mean? There's a big difference between a $60 Red Dead, you know, version of Red Dead Redemption
word
versus a $60 copy of Fallout 76.
You've got an absolute
true.
Point there. It goes... I've mentioned this before in many, many episodes, but giving you an incomplete product, working in retail as long as I have, I just always feel like if you're going to spend your money on something, you should have the maximum value you can attain right out the gate.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course.
But I feel like video games have thoroughly taken advantage of that lately due to the advancements in technology. You have constant requirement of internet connectivity. Mm-hmm. So a game can be updated or patched or changed or
truth.
Whatever needs to be done to it later.
Yeah.
Just true. Yeah.
And that's the thing about an addiction. Even though, like, it could be the worst cut of whatever you're getting, you can complain about it all you want to,
mm-hmm.
but you're so addicted that you're gonna
buy
that. You're not going to really think about the cost effectiveness and how much play value you're getting.
Nope.
You're going to buy it and complain about it.
Exactly.
Because you love that game at the end of the day, so you're still going to get it.
And God forbid that you don't want to rent it. I've always been like that, too. Like, I will always want to rent a big top game before I would even...
That's what my dad used to do when Blockbuster... Hey, throwback.
Shout out.
When Blockbuster was out, that was our thing. We would rent a game for, you know, 5-day rental. If we liked it, you know, we'd just buy the actual game. And we had the save data
mm-hmm.
already, too. You just keep the save data
true.
And transfer it. I can't tell you how many times, even with Blockbuster was clutch. Because when I used to play Final Fantasy VIII back in the day, I did not take care of game discs at all. And there was this one part of the game where we could not get past, and we actually rented a Blockbuster copy of it.
Switch out?
Used the No, we didn't switch it out completely. We used the disc
mm-hmm.
to get us
progress?
Ahead. And then
it
was funny because that disc ended up skipping. And we returned the game, and our game got us all the way through the end. So we rented it for free. Little scam there. But it got us through.
You're a lot more honest than our scams. Because let me tell you, my cousin was the maestro at scamming Blockbuster.
Oh, shit.
Man. I told you about this once, Caddy.
Yes, you did.
Where he would rent the game cartridge,
mm-hmm.
and then he would pull the stickers off and switch it with like a bunch of... like random Mario games or like crap games that he had at the house.
And you fuck up the
shit.
And
even just mess it up so when you put it in there, it wouldn't work.
Oh,
so you would take it back and say, hey, this game didn't work. And they pop it in the system, check it, boom, doesn't work. Then we get the other one.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to say no names, though.
No, don't say names.
We don't tell
around
here.
Shout out to my cousin, though. He was a goon.
Yeah.
See, I miss Blockbuster. But, but a little bit.
Yo,
come back so we can scam y'all.
I'm really about
there is one left. There is one left in Alaska.
In Alaska. I'm really about to like show my age because I don't know if this was even a thing.
I know you're not finna say what I think you're finna say.
Do you remember Zappers?
I knew you was gonna say that shit. I seen a picture of it.
Bro,
that's how crazy it is.
This is funny. See, I remember this vividly because my brother also worked at Blockbuster for a period of time.
Okay.
And not only that, the guy who ran Zappers was a good friend of my dad's from like when they were in high school and stuff
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so like he would always be there at night to close out and like he would manage that area. And what Zappers was essentially was you can go to Blockbuster and try the games out first before you took them home. Yeah. So you would take take the rental back to Zappers, play it on whatever consoles they had hooked up, test it out, something that you wanted to take home, boom, you go home with it. Or you can just chill there like I did most days while my dad was talking to his friend and I would just play a ton of different video games before I ever took him home.
That's really cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that concept.
It used to be like way in the back, very far back part of Black Versus when you came in. It was like totally its own area.
Oh, no
it even
shit.
Had like its own door you went into.
Oh, my God.
It was cool.
What a time. What a time to be alive.
Mm-hmm. I was only like 11 or 12 when I was going on, so that was like heaven for me, bro.
True.
I mean, yeah, Blockbuster's just a throwback. Mm-hmm. And speaking of throwbacks, you know, when we briefly discussed that we wanted to do this topic for video games, it made me think about video game prices all the way back, seemingly so long ago. And what I found was actually really interesting.
Do tell, Matt.
Do tell. I mean, what you guys know, most people who live understand the concept of inflation, which is the value of a dollar has gone up.
Hold on, man.
Going up over
the
years.
Let me put my monocle on before you start talking about this real quick.
Monopoly monocle.
Yeah.
All right. Buckle in.
Yeah.
So, thinking back all the way to 1990. All right. Christian was already 14 years old this time. I wasn't even born.
You're old.
That's right. The Dark Lord is old. So, an NES game in 1990, on average, cost $50. Okay?
Okay.
In 2013 money, that is $89. That is what we pay for a enhanced copy with DLC of PS3 and 4 games on average.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's 5 years ago.
That's who knows what it's like now.
Yeah, it's probably way worse.
All right. So here we go. This is a old price ad from 1993, Sega Genesis games.
Mm-hmm.
We have Streets of Rage 2 for the Sega Genesis. $64.99 when that game first came out.
So wait, the base price was over what the base price for current games is?
Yes. Which is right. This is crazy.
Yeah, this
that's
is
why
kind
I find
of
it ironic when people complain about the price of games nowadays. Like
games were more expensive back then.
Yeah. Mm. And you know, and money was there was a little bit more value to money back then too.
Wow.
So we're actually living in an age
really
where modern games are more affordable than they used to be.
Yeah.
Listen to this. $64.99 for Streets of Rage 2 in 1993. In 2010, inflation adjusted money, $98.19. That is more than pays for DLC loaded
like
up game.
That's like a deluxe edition.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2, $50 in 1993, $75.53 in 2010 money. Look at this one. Mickey Mouse's World of Illusion.
One was that for? Like Sega?
This was all Sega as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. $50, $49.99 in 1993, $75.53 in 2010. And now we get a little bit more modern here. N64, $70 was the rough price. It was like $60 to $70.
Yep.
For N64 cartridges in 1998, the equivalent of $100 today for a game.
Dude.
So could you imagine paying $100 like straight up like right now for a basic N64 game? Like, would you pay $100 for WEF No Mercy?
Hell no.
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
That's why
crazy.
Parents was probably like, you know how much I pay for this video game?
Dude, and that's just the games. That's not even thinking of the console.
I know. There's the console list is here, too. It's interesting.
Do tell that.
PlayStation, I got one more for you. PS2, the $50 on average for a PS2 game is about $60 today. So a little bit more closer to the value.
Okay.
That's relatively close. I mean, that's less of a difference. All right. This is where it gets crazy. These are the consoles. All right. The Atari 2600 back in 1977 cost $199.99. Inflated, In today's money, that is worth $771.83. Atari 2600 is like a caddy's looking at me like, really, bro? That's what I'm saying.
Listen, nah. I know people that pay for iPhones like that.
I know.
You know, so it's like, hey,
which is crazy. I mean, maybe it's just because we're so far ahead in gaming that we look down upon. You know, like really, people are we're paying that kind of figure.
That's a lot.
That was the top technology at the time, though. So
it was, which is crazy to think. But that partially led to the gaming, you know, collapse of 1985.
Yeah,
roughly. All right, Sega Saturn, 1995, $399.99. Inflation cost, probably a couple years ago, $613.84.
For the Sega Saturn?
Sega Saturn.
That's cool.
In hindsight, looking at how trash that system was, I would have been pissed if I would have paid that value.
I know. Here's some other fun ones. Here's the Nintendo Entertainment System came out in 1985, $199.99. As of right in today's money, that's $434.69. Super Nintendo, same thing, $199.99. In today's money, $343.41. N64, same thing, $199.99. Today's money, that would be $298.11.
Now, I feel like the N64 was definitely worth $199.99.
Yeah, it was.
I could see that value.
I got some value out of that.
And the PlayStation.
I could see that value. Even the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
They used to
as well.
Do pack-in games back then, too. You got to keep in mind of that.
For sure.
Super
Mario for sure.
Yeah.
You know what just dawned on me?
Yo, what happened to systems that came with the games? Like,
I don't know.
They had that. They had that.
Well, I guess
they had an Uncharted system.
They kind of do that now, but they jack up the price real big.
Yeah, I was going to say,
because it's like a custom console and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, because back in the day, the price wasn't different. It just came with a game.
Nah, but I feel like the games, it's like weird. When you describe it like that, they will be worth that. Well, think about the systems that we have now.
Yeah.
They're like the evolved form of those systems, and they cost that amount of money. So, I don't know how that makes sense, but yo, that's crazy to
no,
me.
No, I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you got Nintendo Switch, and its predecessor was, is how much, you know?
It was the Wii,
compared to
Wii
the,
U.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was like $300 when it first came out, $299.
Wii U, the Wii U was $350 when it came out.
Yeah. So, I feel like, you know what? That actually makes sense. What do we complain about?
We're making out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We really are.
Well, like, it's pretty crazy.
Especially comparing it to what we were looking at from back then.
Dude. There's some handheld stuff. The first Game Boy, 1989, $89.99. In today's money, $169.73. I would...
Nah.
You know what I mean? That's like...
That's a lot for
handheld. I would pay that much for a PSP because it could do multiple stuff.
Yeah.
It connected to the internet. You had wireless, you know... interaction, you had the network, you had music, stuff like that. Game Gear, $150 in 1991. Today's money, $257.56. I would not pay that for a bunch of dumbed down Genesis games.
Game Gear was doo doo.
Game Boy Color, $69.99 in 1998.
Great price.
Great.
Fantastic price. $100.42 in today's money.
I feel like that's great value right there.
Absolutely.
Oh, true.
The those numbers make sense to me.
The PSP, here we go. In 2005, $250 when it came out. It's valued at $299.37 right now.
That shit is a system, fam.
Damn, that's I feel like that's...
that shit is
how
a
much
pocket
was,
monster.
When did that come out again?
2005.
That shit is a real life Pokemon.
That was revolutionary, though. I can argue...
That's a lot of money.
I know. I got mine a couple years after.
Same.
But yeah, this was crazy. There's some, wow.
Yeah,
this page. This is from IGN a couple of years ago. This is really like interesting stuff. Here's some.
Well, wait a minute. Let me drop my little conspiracy.
Yeah, go ahead.
What if the video game industry people are paying IGN to rate these video game systems at this market? Because you know it's only self interest, and that's all we're gonna get today.
They could be, dude. This is a crazy price difference. Like price. You know, inflation adjustments.
Yeah, it puts things in a very...
But I feel like when you say those things, it's like, why would I even buy that when you have your counterpart that does five times more things than you do, and it's the same price as you're worth.
Right.
So it's just like, Okay. So you, yeah.
Genesis. Sega Genesis, 1989. $189.99 when it came out. $358.34. The Dreamcast, $199.99 when it came out in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
$280.75.
I would pay $280 for a Dreamcast. I ain't gonna hold you.
This is it's probably worth it. I actually really enjoy the Dreamcast.
I love Dreamcast.
Aside from the short library, and we discussed this on one of our former episodes, it was a really great system.
Mm-hmm. Ahead of its time.
Yeah, totally was. Totally was. Hope you're enjoying that, brother.
Oh, I truly am. I love playing NFL 2K on that. Good. It's lit.
It's the baby form of the Xbox.
Facts.
Yeah. PS1 in 1995 was valued at $299.99. Today's money, or modern money, $460.37. Actually, I'm looking at it right here. The PS2 is probably like the closest to like inflation and stuff. It was pretty valuable system. $299 in 2000, in the year 2000, $407.44.
Well, you think is it because of the pieces or parts that they're made of that makes it like, because you know how everybody's
different design.
Remember how everybody used to be fiending for the like the Blu-ray inside of a Sony.
That helps add value too, and that's probably why like the standard price of video game ended up, you know, becoming, you know, adding, because you know PS1 had the CD player and stuff like that. Like all that stuff adds value to the system and the cost.
Yeah, so it might be within the technology why it's like, because you can't really find things like I don't know. It depends.
Looking at these, like this is. You know, with inflation over the years, like the PS2 is more economically friendly than the Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
The Super Nintendo, the Nintendo,
you can do way more with that system.
Well, maybe not Super Nintendo, but the original Nintendo at least. And like the Atari, like the difference, even with today's, you know, adjusted inflation costs, the value is so much better. Which is crazy, and that's what drives me nuts. And I'm glad we did this episode, because even some of us have been like, oh, I know I have. I can't speak for everyone here, but I'm like, wow, $60 for a video game. That's crazy. But then I go see, you get these random, you know, from these random Facebook pages, I love the 90s and stuff like that. They have like an old Toys R Us catalog for Super Nintendo games, and they were like $50-$60. I'm like, really? People paid that much for...
We've been consistently paying this price for a while. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like that.
Yeah, but our value is just so much better, which is crazy.
That was the pinnacle of their technology, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was their, that's the Xbox. Like, that Sega Saturn or whatever it was, that was their Xbox. Or, you know, that Nintendo, well, that was their Nintendo, but, you know.
But this is the thing that gets me with modern-day gaming, too, though, is because, yes, the value of the hardware and or software are... pretty much equivalent, or we're paying less
in most
cases.
Yeah.
There were no microtransactions back in the day.
That is a great point,
too. There were also no DLC. There was no virtual currency.
Right.
These are all things that, if you're playing the games that matter, that's something that you need in a lot of cases.
I wonder if they realize the inflation, like these game developers, or they realize that inflation and the value of their games.
Because
I believe it's like a plot. They have.
Because when you think about it, it's like the price of video games hasn't budged from like $50 to $60 in forever.
Right.
No.
And especially now, they know that it doesn't matter that it's that price, because they're going to have a fucking thing that you're going to need for the whole year that game's out, that's going to cost another $15 to $20. Then they're going to have extra costumes or whatever the hell else is in the game that's going to cost another $1.99 or $2.99 per.
Or the new thing now, the season pass.
The season pass, And the thing that's crazy, though, is season pass have been around for a long time. It's just they weren't with every game.
Right.
Now, literally every game has a season pass. It's stupid.
Well, I think that's because more games are online now, so they have to have like more content. Because, like, think about it. Like, if you bought an old school... Kingdom Hearts, Devil May Cry, God of War, they didn't have, like...
There's no need for that.
Yeah, there is no need. But now you're online, or you're in such an interactive community with people, or just the game itself, now you need all that.
That's why I always say games like Fortnite and people are so crucial, especially on our group.
Critical. Oh, they're
so
horrible
stupid.
At it. Like, just let people enjoy the damn
Fortnite,
thing.
Fortnite, not only is it an enjoyable game, but it's I feel like it's being done correctly because
yeah, exactly.
It's a free game. And they managed to make billions of dollars solely off of cosmetic things that don't alter the playing experience or change your character or your level or your skill in any way. It's
yeah.
just solely cosmetic. You can totally enjoy the game with never buying anything ever.
True.
But if you want to, it's there for you.
It is.
Yeah.
So in games like that, it makes sense for me.
I appreciate a game like that, like Fortnite.
Yeah.
I don't play it personally, but... The value, which is what we're talking about today, the value is just uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were smart. They made a free Battle Royale game that anyone can enjoy if they want to.
Yep.
But they still found ways to make money. And like I said, like you said, it's optional. It's not mandatory to be
yeah.
able to compete.
Yeah.
Cause
you could be a no-skin the whole time.
One of your biggest gripes about, is it 2K or Live?
2K.
2K mm-hmm. was that people can buy their way to being good.
Yeah.
And they only just recently changed that.
Yep.
You know, that's...
When the years when I was really playing it, like 2K16 and 2K17, those were like the years that I was like in it, like buying like the deluxe edition so I can get VC just to have my character built up already. So
right.
like, for instance, out the gate, if you get, I think it was 2K17 that had Kobe on the cover of it. And if you bought the deluxe edition, you already got like 200,000 virtual currency right out the gate. So that takes your character from base stat up to probably like mid-80s. Right before I even play one game,
that's insane.
I'm already like an 83, 84 without even playing a game yet.
Yeah.
So not to mention that you can just go right into the PlayStation Store, buy, spend another, you know, it, not to mention if you're somebody that just has the money to blow, spend $99 and get like 500,000 VC and then just max out your character.
It's a wrap, yeah.
Whereas in a game like Live, this is what really made me transition because it was... Live, what was it 17? I think it was either 17 or 18. We were playing the demo, the beta, you should say.
Yeah.
And me and my cousin were grinding. We were like, we figured out a little loophole where you can delete your my player and then start a whole another one over, but you would keep all your VC and you would keep all your clothes or whatever.
Oh,
even
really?
Though you deleted your character. But one thing that we didn't know is once the real game came out, we still had access to all the points that we had acquired from playing the demo. So I was like, I just grinded like for like a whole month on the demo and all this like 600,000 currency that I've accumulated from then when the new game comes in, I'm still going to be able to use it.
Right. I was just going to ask about like that, like the beta.
See, that's
yeah.
try to beta out and you'd be max level on that.
So
that
you say that's...
Over.
And my character switched right over. My character, I think the base that they stop you at was like a 78. For the beta.
Which is
yeah.
fair.
Which
yeah.
I feel like that's even. And then when the real game was installed, I started with that 78 that I had been developing.
Right.
Oh, man.
So I kept all my currency. I kept all my clothes and sneakers that I had acquired during the little special events that they'd thrown. And my character was still there with all the moves and everything that I had already put on him.
That's probably like, that could be like a devil's advocate thing too. Because just like that can show like how loyal you are to
mm-hmm. the playing the game.
Yeah. How yeah, so if you now own it,
mm-hmm.
like me. You know, I'm going to put in that work, but you knew it was here.
Yep.
So you had the option to do the same thing as me. Or you just might be like, I'm nice enough to be like, I don't need that. I'll just start from wherever point, grind my way up,
yep.
and then just come out on the field when I'm ready.
And that's the best part about it. The only way you can develop your character is by playing games. There's
yeah.
no, it's just like Fortnite in the sense that the money is just used for cosmetic shit. If I want a new headband or if I want some wristbands or some cool jerseys or something, that's what I'm spending my currency on. It has nothing to do with my skills.
Yeah, that's important. So that's
yeah.
that's what you consider that would be valuable.
I feel like that's super value.
Okay.
And everyone's like, oh, well, the game is better and the mechanics are... Yes, there are areas of 2K that are way better than Live. You would be a fool to say that they're not if you look at the two games. The commentary and stuff like that and some of the functionality of the way players interact with each other in 2K are better. But it's not as fun as Live is to me, and it just doesn't make sense from a consumer standpoint the way that 2K is doing things.
Right.
So that's what made me switch because, like, I'm not going to keep putting my money into these guys, spending $120 for the deluxe edition, and I'm getting shafted.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the problems they have with their servers, because my cousin has lost two characters on the last two 2Ks, so that kind of threw us off, too.
Oh, hell no.
When you grind up to, like, a level, like a 90 and get all your badges and shit, then your stuff just taken from you because the server had an issue.
Yeah, that's...
I can't do that.
No.
Fighting games don't have that issue, in a sense, but they have their other issues, like, rather than opposed to cosmetics or other things affecting whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's more like unlocking characters rather than downloadable characters mm-hmm. that you have
right.
to
which
buy.
The, which, you know, some newer games, you know, there are a few DLC, you know, characters. There are very few.
Actually, I think all of them now have adapted to that system. If you look at it from Injustice,
for
Dragon
sure.
Ball Z, Guilty Gear was
the latest Marvel vs. Capcom had it. Mortal Kombat has had it with extra characters like, you know,
for
Predator,
sure.
Alien,
the Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, it had
especially
everybody.
Especially when it went to Ultimate Edition, too.
Yeah,
it had everybody, but then it had, like, two dudes that were missing, which was Jill and Shuma Gorath.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, if this was the Ultimate Edition, why didn't I get them either? But, see, that's the whole problem. You know, I think, like, ever since then, they're going to keep milking that.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up fighting games, because I was talking about this the other day to somebody at work. It's like, what happened to just playing the game so much that you just get the
unlocking
character.
Them, yeah.
Yeah. It's like why do I gotta buy them?
Smash Bros stuff.
Yeah. I just play the game so much, or I beat the game with certain players, and that lets me unlock someone.
That's why
that's
that
value.
Game is gonna be so successful.
Let me see. Mm-hmm. I wanna see the price, how much Smash
game?
Bros costs.
Yeah,
that Smash Bros game
that just
hold
makes
mad value.
Sense to me.
Because even though you are essentially unlocking characters and going through, they have a massive amount of characters you can unlock too.
Mm-hmm.
There's still probably going to be more downloadable characters.
For sure.
And that's crazy incredible to me. So you're going to get both values. And even if you don't have those other characters that's downloadable or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there's like 100 original characters.
Yeah,
that
all
came
the ones
in
that
the
have
game.
Ever been in Smash
yeah.
Brothers. So it's like,
so
there's going to be somebody you're going to want to use.
Yeah. So depending on it, whether it's used or not, the value ranges from anything from $29 to $69 on Smash Bros. I think that is an
Fire.
Actual incredible yeah. value. Still,
that's
cheaper than older games. You know
yes.
what I mean? And you get all those characters. Yes, there's a grind to it too. There's not. You can't just buy your way into having all these characters.
That's what it's like. You get rewarded for grinding.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
That just makes sense to me. It's like with, especially like with the new WWE 2K. I didn't like how they had it last year in the career mode where you could purchase like how good your character was. You can just if you got a certain amount of stats, you can just buy the attributes. With this year, they made that. Like skill tree system. So.
Yes.
Injustice was real good at about how they went about DLC because mm-hmm. even though you had to be online and download the characters and certain things like that, you only had to be online to get like the different armors. And even though the clothing and the armor and the cosmetics did affect the way you play and how you played with mm-hmm. certain things, everybody could get them. It wasn't a you had to buy this. No, it was just merely of a. You actually fought and competed in the game, grinded in the game online, and got crates from different planets. You
nice.
Didn't have to buy them, though.
Yeah, you just acquired them.
You like you grinded just like on live.
That's what I like. That just makes sense to me.
Yeah. Here's something I want to ask you guys, too.
What's up?
There's a ton of different genres of video games, and I wanted to know if, like, what you guys thought, like, which genres of video games have always had the most value for what they put in.
Open world games.
Open world, like RPG.
Like RPG style, or if you think like Grand Theft Auto style. Mm-hmm.
Just
yes. where you're free roaming a world.
Or shooters.
Shooters.
I feel like it depends on what kind of shooter. What do you mean?
Well, think about it then. If you think about it like this, the maps, more maps. When you that's only associated kind of like with shooting games, you know what I'm saying? You get more area.
Well, but what I'm saying is like, are you saying a shooting game like Division or a shooting game like Call of Duty?
I think they're all like okay. Because if you could say that, then you can be like Destiny. Because Destiny is just like Division, but it's still
agreed.
Also a shooting game that you. But they, I don't think they it just. I don't think Division was focused on a competitive aspect of you shooting PvP, rather.
No, they have PvP in there.
Well then. Then, yeah. Then I would say that shooters is definitely, because you can qualify all that within that. Like, first-person shooter, third-person shooter.
Yeah, because I feel like some first-person shooters don't have great
not
value.
Like, not like, well, not like Max Payne or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I feel like certain shooters don't have as much value. Like, linear shooters, no. But open-world shooters,
yeah.
yes.
Right.
and competitive, like online shooters, like with Duty, because you can just fucking play that all day, every day, like for sure.
That's what I got associated with, because you get the maps, and you get the guns, and you get all this other
stuff. I always forget that kind of stuff, because you got to remember, I don't really play first-person shooters.
Yeah.
So, like, I just always leave them out. It's not because, like, I don't think that their games are valuable, I just don't play them. Right. So.
Well, that's why actually I started playing them more, because I got tired of playing fighting games and RPGs. And, well, RPGs always going to give you something more, you know, more downloadable content. But it's just like now the shooting games are now like, they're not only just shooting, they're adventure games at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like, you could actually play zombies and it'd be an adventure game. At the same time, you have to reach a goal, do these tasks, puzzle solving, but still playing a free range shooting game with different massive areas. Just crazy.
I can tell you the most valuable game out right now, and it's been the most valuable game for like the last 5 years.
Do tell.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh my God.
Oh
yeah. They do that keep adding stuff, but even if you just wanted to base play it,
the content is ridiculous.
I just got it. It's ridiculous. Got it, and it is very, very in-depth.
And there's the one thing that I like about the way that they've handled it, there's DLC that you have to buy in certain cases or buy into.
Yeah.
But then there are other ones where they just drop them, or like seasonal ones that they just drop based on the time of the year.
Which is cool, because I can't foresee another GTA 6 coming out. I mean, that's a story for another time, but the fact that they, almost like Fortnite too, is that they've found a way to keep their games fresh and make it worth it.
I feel like Fortnite kind of took from what GTA was doing and expanded on it in just the way that made sense for their game. Yeah, because if you, one thing that people forget about is, even though we're playing it on next-gen consoles, GTA 5 came out for PS3.
It did.
Yeah.
It was up-converted to PS4, so it wasn't even made for these consoles. And it's still relevant now, today. Like, a DLC just dropped for it, like a week, a day before Christmas.
The car battle royale.
Yeah, a day before Christmas.
My sister played that shit all the time.
That's the most valuable game out.
She still
plays
that shit she has it for PS3 and she has it for PS4.
Like, I took all my data from my online from my PS3 character up to my PS4 character.
That's awesome.
And see, like, you, I don't know.
That's just that.
The online too. The online is really cool. So good. Too, right? It's pretty much. Oh, it's just the same thing.
It's always running. Yeah,
and you're just interacting with other people, players, and stuff.
Or if you don't want to interact with anyone, you can go on like shadow mode and just do your own thing. Yeah.
Destiny should have followed that formula. Keep the same Destiny game
and just add something
more.
To it.
They
had just makes sense.
More than capable. They were more.
I agree
were,
with you.
That was That's Bungie. A cool concept.
There was no reason to make Destiny 2.
There was.
You
no
should have just added all that content on like a big add-on, kind of like what they did with
They doing it with GTA.
What's that? No, it's another zombie game that they do that with.
Oh,
I forgot. And I'm really sad because I used to play this game heavy.
Is it Left 4 Dead?
Nah, it came out for the more recent consoles. Hold on.
Dead Island?
Nope, I'm about to look it up.
Go ahead, young man.
Yeah, but another thing that I was looking at while I'm looking this up, I was perusing through the GameStop app, as I do sometimes.
Perusing through the GameStop app.
Yeah, because what I like to do is see the value of, like, trade-in value.
Yeah.
Randomly. Like, and sometimes I just type in, like, the most random games, or like a game that just came out recently, and just to see how much GameStop will give you for it. just to give you an idea, the one I just looked up, Fallout 76, which hasn't been out, more than
it's probably
3 months?
Less than 3,
Yeah. They're going to give you $15 for it.
Damn, my bet was a halfpenny.
That's crazy. I wonder how much they resell it for. Probably 30.
$49.99 used. Real talk. Easy.
Yeah.
GameStop.
They capping on y'all.
That's
it's
very interesting to me.
It's interesting. As a consumer, it sucks.
Think about it like this. That game cost 17, what is it, 17 bucks, 15 bucks?
Well, they would give you 15 bucks.
They would give you 15. A cartridge of any Pokemon game from DS to anything, that shit like $20. So you think about it like that.
Yo, shout out to shout out to Nintendo still using cartridges too.
Yeah. Think about that shit right there.
Oh yeah, and the other game I was thinking of was Dying Light, by the way. And that game came out in 2015 and it's still relevant now. They still have DLC that they release for it.
Okay.
Right.
Matt, what would you say?
No, like, as a consumer, like, it sucks. It's kind of shitty because they encourage you to, you know, trade in your games and you get stuff back and they don't give you a whole lot of value for it.
No value.
But then at the same time, I'm like, oh, they're a business.
Yeah.
As well.
I feel like they should just eliminate that. It shouldn't be a thing. Trade-ins shouldn't be a thing if it's not going to be worthwhile.
If your business ethics don't really correlate with, like, I can see them doing that only if their business ethics were applied more to their actual employees. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had, you running a company, so you had to divide the assets of profit, the gross, and figure out all the net, whatever the fuck. So, pretty much, if you gave more to your employees, I can see you actually doing that because you're building more value. But I feel like you're not only treating, because I've heard from various employees,
and I worked there.
Yep, I'm about to say, and Christian was an employee.
Mm-hmm.
It's trash there.
Yeah, I knew a friend. Know? I knew a guy in Rochester. Oh, I do. He's a good friend of mine. Lives in Rochester, and yeah, he used to run a store out there, mm-hmm. and he was on salary. He was working 60-plus hours. I mean, Christian knows the retail struggle. And, you know, 60-plus hours a week, especially during, like, Christmas time.
Peak time.
And his store would actually, like, they wouldn't do good because a lot of people, they would come in, buy the games, and then not too long after Christmas, they'd all return them and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a struggle, but he didn't get paid a lot for it. It was a very minimal salary base.
Yeah.
And I probably not too many incentives either. So,
are you getting paid like commissions and how many video games or your goals?
It could be.
Like a paycheck and then the goals?
Well, I don't know from their standpoint for salary, but for my store, it is like that. You get a base pay and then you get a percentage based on how much you sell.
I think most retail managers get a little bit extra for, you know, doing a great job.
But even thinking about it like that, though, it's games.
Yeah.
It's how much value are you really going to return depending on the percentage you get for commission.
And that's why I also feel like,
because for me, I'm selling, you know, $150 boots. So that's a different story.
But that's why GameStop added more accessories, collectibles.
They did. They have changed.
They got the pop figures probably cover a lot of bases for them, too.
And they're doing retro games now as well. They have the Super Nintendo, like, N64, like, they have all that stuff on display ready to go.
Yeah.
So, that's always interesting. Value, man.
Yeah, it just still bothers me. I'm just very old school when it comes to certain things.
Yeah.
The thing that really just annoys me is when games just have the audacity to just give us the incomplete product. Like, you knew, you tested it. You knew before. I mean, push back the dates. That's a thing. You can still do that.
Right.
Push it back. I'd rather you push it back and give me the good shit than give me this half-assed product that I'm going to have to wait for 5 or 6 patches for you to get it right. And by that time, I'm turned off of the game because I don't want to wait.
So when you make that point, you just mean the patches, right? Making the game whole. Like, the DLC is like a separate
DLC
issue from that.
That's optional.
I just wanted to confirm that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, patch-wise, because when we had cartridge-based games,
making the games work. Okay.
There was no patch.
No patches.
What you gave us was it.
Yeah.
If you chose Odd Job or Oddball, whatever the fuck, he was definitely too short.
Yeah.
He was cheating.
Like, right. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
I'm glad you clarified that, for like the listeners and stuff. Because like we did say at the top of the show, even games today with DLC are a lot cheaper than comparatively to older games.
And I love my DLC. I can't even lie to you because I buy DLC frequently.
Yeah.
I'm always down to have some sweet new attires or some crossover outfits or swords or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't give me the game knowing that it's not done, because you can patch it later.
Now I want to start an argument with somebody on the GHU page. Like, after looking up all those statistics about how games are cheaper nowadays than they were before, I want to start an argument with someone.
Right, this dude's...
Listen, they think they know, but...
They don't.
They don't know shit. But I'm not saying that majority of you guys, you got your wits and common sense about you, but then it's just like, where is your common sense when it comes to video games? You know,
they just play. They see the
price.
Just
because you know things doesn't make you an expert.
Yeah. Well, you think you know things.
Or just because you have knowledge does not mean you have wisdom. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Knuckle up on that one.
Bloop. Boop. That was us knuckling up. That was the sound effect of us knuckling up.
We gotta explain shit to these motherfuckers.
Soundboard coming soon. Nah, spoiler.
We like the people that actually listen to us.
No. Yeah, our listeners are lit.
The other people who just criticize and don't listen can go fuck themselves.
Sweet,
my man.
Oh, man. Can I tell you about how much I've been learning super maximum amounts of patience with this this moderator job?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Talk about it.
Yeah. Open up.
Oh, man. So, like, just seeing the community, and just in case you don't know who this is, this is the dude known as Devil Trigger Bad Guy, a.k.a. Caddy. It's all there. So, yeah, like, I see these people, they post these nonsensical and naive and very self-destructing things in the gaming community, poisoning it on purpose.
Yeah.
And I want to know, like, if you know the rules and values of these things, why would you purposely try to contaminate something and not expect to offend people?
Yeah.
Like, the video with the GameStop thing and, you know, everybody got their own personal beliefs. And I believe, as we're all humans, we all going to go through some struggle. The shit is funny. We all, you know what I'm saying? You can laugh at whatever you want to because we're all human.
They got posted 5 times on the page. Like, all, come on.
You know what I'm saying? And then when you come through and violate something that's sacred to us, that, you know, we come together. How can you say that we are inconsiderate of what we do and all this stuff? It's like a parent trying to tell y'all, yo, man, put that shit down. Or don't go do this. Or don't put your hand on the goddamn eye.
It's a lot of babysitting, dude. It's hectic.
They don't, it's because they don't understand the backlash from the perspective we see it from. Because this is not just a group for us. This is a business. This is something that we treat with care and nurture.
Yeah.
It's a golden rule. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot of stress, man. I had to, like, take a step back. I was like, I was super into the moderator, and I'm not knocking, you know, the ones that do it and do a good job of moderating.
Oh, yeah, shout out to y'all.
I respect
them. There are some that does them right.
Shout out to all the mods, man. Mm-hmm. All the mods. Every single one of y'all. Because if I talk, because they know me, y'all know me, if I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to be real. I don't care. I don't sugarcoat my words. I don't come from that. I don't. There's a reason why I like fighting games. Because if you really have a real problem that you want to feel like you want to insult my character or assassinate anybody's character or anything or continuously be a troll out of the detriment to our community and everybody else, then fam, I'm going to defend all that. This is my family. So, yeah, I'm going to get emotional. I'm not usually emotional with certain shit, but you act like if somebody didn't slap your mom or your sister or your brother or something like that, would you just sit there and let that happen, fam?
Absolutely not.
Hell fucking no. Nah. So if you sit here and insult people, I don't give a fuck what they believe in or how it is. As long as they cool and we all brothers and sisters, everybody going to love and respect each other. And if you don't, I'm going to break your fucking back.
Yeah.
Be gone with you.
Yeah. I wasn't happy with some of the stuff that went on. Because I was, like, really heavily into the moderating. Mm-hmm. And I used to have to lay down the law, and I would get, like, personal messages and, like, attacks and stuff by people.
Fam, I'm getting personal messages about, like, you're acting very immature and all type of shit. I just established that I don't care what you are, respect each other.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to do some shit.
Yeah. It's so easy.
That you not going to like because you feel like you... What if somebody trolled your life? Just golden rule.
Like, this one dude made a... 2 separate Facebook pages. I blocked the one. He made another one to get at me. Like, he just kept going on and on. I'm like, dude, I don't care.
It takes so... I say this all the time. It takes so much more effort to be annoying than it is to be helpful.
Yeah.
So much more energy. Like, devotes just a fraction of that energy to something that benefits the community. Just, like, devote 20% of that energy to sharing links.
Sharing links.
Yeah.
Making the page a better place. Actually doing something.
Just sharing links. You know, like, something that simple.
Like us do. Like we do. You know what I mean? We don't get paid.
No.
But we treat it as a business. We want to get paid.
Word.
And all we do, we literally take out an hour, maybe hour of a podcasting a week, maybe 2 hours total with thinking about what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just put it into doing something positive into the page. There's a lot of people that just bitch, oh, I don't win giveaways and that drives me nuts.
That shit right there.
I'm so glad we don't do them anymore.
No, but this is the thing that I want to talk about too. BJ is offering Resident Evil 2 and Kingdom Hearts 3. So you think this is rigged? You think he just wouldn't just give it to his friends just because? Off the strength of
great giveaways.
Friends?
Shout out to BJ.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
I don't understand how people are always so upset when you're getting some of the best games and systems that are coming out.
Yeah, why don't y'all participate?
Plus,
or
you're one in... The people that complain about the giveaways drive me nuts.
Yeah.
You are one in 17,000 plus people on the page.
Yeah.
Damn near 18,000 people.
Your odds of winning are very slim.
And you don't even compete in those odds.
And a lot of people don't.
Statistically.
Jump in on stuff. Like, it drives me nuts.
Ratios don't match up.
But, I mean, enough.
Shout out to the people putting in the work, though.
Yes, yeah. Please. Just keep supporting. And for those, like, I don't know, man.
The negative stuff.
I love y'all, but come on, man. I got to find some type of...
Let's look at the positives. We bashed a lot of people out here, especially.
That's okay.
But the positive stuff, like we do. We do appreciate the people who contribute good stuff.
Yes.
Good content, conversation pieces. Nobody should ever be afraid to talk about their favorite video game on the GHU page.
Word.
Ever. And the people that harass people, you know, who are proud of their Fortnite accomplishments...
Word.
Be proud. That game's not easy.
Yeah. Be proud.
Be the game ain't easy.
Proud. The people who take, like you said, takes more effort to be, you know, annoying. The people who do that and you're like, oh, Fortnite's trash. You had no life. All right, just get out of here. We don't want you a part of the group, and we're a better place than that.
Deuces.
People forget about the united part in the game.
Or the Xbox and PlayStation shit. Fam, they the same shit. I'm a PlayStation mark, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
But I just had a conversation with an Xbox dude, and I just said, to me, ain't no difference no more. Even if it was, I would love to cross-platform and play them in anything. Or I would love to go over a friend's house and play an Xbox. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
I love games, yo.
Yeah, I love video games.
I don't care
games.
What it is.
Computer, Switch, handheld, the little video games with kind of with the extra sketch graphics, the little black and white.
Oh, Jesus.
And you clicked it and all the icons appear before you play.
Yeah,
count me in, bro.
Give me all that shit.
So, oh, yeah, the Tiger Electronic game.
Yeah, we own
those. I want to do an episode of that.
These games are fire.
Oh,
I used to have a ton of those.
Dude.
Tiger Electronics, that's who made those. But, yeah, I mean, positively, we're doing the best you can. BJ runs a tight ship, runs a great group. You know, as best as you can. It's tough when you have a limited amount of moderators. You don't want to make everyone a moderator, but
nope.
there's a very elite group of people, and they have to deal with, like you said, 17,000 to 18,000 people every day trying to fuck
very
with somebody.
Grateful for the position.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm going to just be honest
with you. I was, too. I was very proud. I was very proud. But like I said, I had to take a step back because there was too much personal stuff happened, and I do not need that kind of negative energy in my life.
Yeah, and my hands work. I'm not – because I don't disrespect people like that. You know what I'm saying?
I could never do that.
Yeah, but –
Yeah.
Be honorable always.
There you go.
Be honorable always. That's right.
There you go.
Those who are listening, guys, we got a couple – we got one big GHU activity coming up real quick.
Can't wait.
At River Pub. January 19th, a couple weeks.
The Madden Tournament.
Madden Tournament.
Ultimate Showdown.
PS4 and Xbox One. There'll be two separate tournaments, 20 people
live
per tournament.
Yes.
Live commentary.
Live commentary by us. We'll be there with soundboard
the
and
gang.
All.
Yes.
The gang.
$250 to $500 prizes.
Yeah. Plaques.
And a plaque. Those plaques are nice.
Yeah. He did a good job, right? He did a green one for Xbox, red one for...
I went with him when we did that shit.
BJ, man, BJ doesn't get enough credit, I feel.
Dude,
he does an excellent job.
The fact that, you know, he's got a house to pay for.
A whole family, man.
Kids. And he takes his own money and throws it back into GHU, and he hasn't made anything back from it yet. Not that I know.
That's why I be fighting so hard, too, because that man built that shit on his back.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody did that.
Mm-hmm.
He brought a lot of great people together,
mm-hmm.
and he's saving lives. He's promoting prosperity and peace, and...
Shout out to BJ.
Yeah.
That's
BJ.
My dude.
I just wish he wasn't a Ravens fan. Other than that, I'd like to see him. No, he's a good
Steelers
dude. Steelers
always. Six time. Fuck the Colts. And the Bills.
Oh, hey.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. Fuck both of y'all.
Oh!
That's all right.
You know what?
Have fun with your Steelers riding the pine all postseason.
We
can go golfing and stuff now.
We're going to have to take it to Madden 99 after this.
That's okay. I'm going to have fun with all my
MVP
trophies.
No, it's in my
PS3
right now. I can bring it out. So very good, everybody. Thank you for your support in this new year. We got so much more fun content to come up. Discussions, various discussions like this one. This one was a good one. I like talking about value of games. And I want you guys to think, we want you guys to think about, you know, what were the, you know, what games did you get the most value out of? And really think about those games.
Or what games are you still currently getting the most value out of?
Absolutely. Comment. When we post this podcast every week on the GHU page, comment under it. Talk with us. Me, Christian, and Caddy are more than welcome to discussions. Just don't try to troll us because we'll get you every time.
Yeah, man. Because I live under a bridge and I stay with the stick.
They call me Maestro de Troll.
Maestro. Break his arm.
Fantastic. All right. My landlord's going to be here for rent in any minute, so we're going to close up the show. Everybody.
Where the fuck the dough at, boy?
I love that segue. That was the best segue of all time.
It's better than
time.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. So, so everybody, on behalf of Caddy, Christian, and myself, thank you so much for listening. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Push Start Podcast.
Deuces.